This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Let's jump in right away here at 2:07. Former Congressman for the 3rd District and frequent guest of this show, Dean Phillips, is with us. Dean is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We're talking about last night, the president, his address to Congress, to Republicans, Democrats, other invited guests, and the United States of American citizens who decided to watch. Dean, always a pleasure to have you on. What was your reaction to how your party, your Democrats, reacted to what the president was saying? Whether it was that's the singer. I kept thinking
Al Green.
The singer Al Green, but Representative Al Green. The signs held up, the Democrats who did not show, and then some who did not stand up when Donald Trump was honoring the various guests that he acknowledged throughout the speech.
Well, Chad, I have to say that it was, on one hand, understandable, but on the other hand, pathetic. And now that I watch that institution, you know, my former colleagues, both on the right and left, now as just an average citizen on television, I have to say I see the optics so differently now. And I think my Democratic colleagues fail to recognize how sitting down when a young person is celebrated, sitting down when there's energy and excitement about America's future, I understand why that looks so terrible. And I think my party has lost sense of the optics that resonate with Americans. And I have to say, last night was somewhat of a tour de force by both President Trump and the Republican Party. Energy, excitement, you know, high fives and claps. And on the other side, people sitting with little signs on their seats, twiddling their thumbs. And it was a sad display. But I also understand, Chad, because some of the initiatives and policy propositions by this administration should be of concern to everybody. So once again, two things true at once. I think a sorry display by my party, but the concerns of my party, I think, are quite valid.
Dean, I want to stay with the 13-year-old DJ Daniels. We learn more information. He's had brain cancer. He's had 13 surgeries. He's sitting with his dad. He's in a police uniform. He's been honored by other police departments. Then the head of the Secret Service makes him an honorary member of the Secret Service. And there are Democrats, and not just one or two, a large number of Democrats who are not acknowledging this, were not applauding, and did not even appear to be touched. That is shameful. That is indefensible. That, in this case, has nothing to do with Donald Trump and his policies. This is a sweet, beautiful story. And if you want to come off as tone deaf and not communicate to the American public, that's a prime example of what to do last night.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't say it better, Chad. That's exactly the moment to which I'm referring, where I was aghast. I surely would have stood up. I stood up many times during former President Trump's addresses to the Congress, not because I like the man or a lot of what he stands for and certainly his character, but that's not what that's about. This was about this young boy last night. It's about our country. And the fact of the matter is, again, I'm afraid that my party has completely lost sight of where most of America is at. And that is a bad recipe for electoral success. And I sure hope that the better angels will recognize that and do better next time, because it was a bad display.
Starting today, starting from this conversation, how would you like to see Democrats respond to Donald Trump moving forward?
Well, Democrats, you know, part of this, Chad, I don't like to be too retrospective, but clearly this goes back now a couple of years where leaders in the Democratic Party either recognized but failed to take action when the party was clearly being positioned much further to the left than it could succeed electorally, as it related to the immigration crisis, the southern border, as it relates to elements of wokeness, as it relates to fiscal responsibility and efficiency and effectiveness and eliminating waste and fraud. You know, most Americans, no matter your politics, I imagine most people listening would agree that those are things that we should pursue solutions to. And I think Democrats should be focusing on solutions. You know, we still have a country, Chad, in which our healthcare system is not a system. It's sick care, where two-thirds of people who declare bankruptcy in our country do so because of medical debt. Democrats should be the party proposing solutions to our disastrous healthcare system. Democrats should be proposing solutions to an immigration system that has way too high of barriers for legal entry and too low of barriers for illegal entry. We should be participants. Democrats should be positioning themselves to be a party of fiscal responsibility, participating in the elimination of waste and fraud, not just complaining about the person leading it. These are pretty basic elements. And at the end of the day, inflation. Yes, eggs are too expensive. It's not because of Joe Biden. Inflation is going to be something that, frankly, the Trump administration is going to own, because these tariffs, Chad, as I think you would agree, are going to be inflationary. So Democrats should be focused on the people in this country, the overwhelming majority of people in this country, who are suffering economically, no matter what the stock market is doing, no matter how well corporate America is feeling. And that's where the party has lost its way. We've gotten too focused on niche issues, on cultural issues, and not nearly enough on what people need in their everyday lives: safety, security, and economic possibility. It's pretty simple, but the absence of leadership makes that awfully complicated.
This is Dean Phillips, the former 3rd District Congressman. Chad Hartman here with you on CCO. Let's talk about the dialogue, the words the president used. I'll cite once again Britt Hume. Britt Hume is an acknowledged conservative analyst. He's good at what he does. He was on Fox News last night. Britt has been around D.C. for decade after decade and decade. And Britt Hume said last night, the most partisan speech I have ever heard a president give in the entire time he's been covering D.C. And I just said that has been 30, 40, 50 years, to be honest, for Britt Hume. Maybe not 50, but 40 for sure. That's true, right? I mean, there was one side attempt to reach out to Democrats after just mocked and belittled them. It shouldn't surprise us, but when you again see the president of the United States, you know, stated by many, I'm the greatest president ever, and playing the hits, and you're watching this, it's what we have come to expect. But it's still stunningly atypical of what we've witnessed from other presidents in our past.
No, Chad, I couldn't agree more. And last night was, by most measures, I think it was an offensive, inappropriate, certainly non-traditional approach to addressing the United States Congress. Never before in our lifetimes and even previous has a president used that platform to be so partisan. That is not how it is done traditionally, but we've all come to recognize that this is not a traditional president. Americans knew what they were getting when they voted for him. None of this should surprise people, certainly not the Democrats that are opposed to him. And, you know, what we see is what we're going to get. and we will have 3.5 more years of it. Democrats can either complain and hold up signs or try to reposition the party with pragmatic, common sense candidates and a common sense platform that appeals to more Americans and be ready for 2026 and 2028. The notion that we think any American thinks that they can modify the president's behavior or they can criticize him into changing it. My goodness, you got to change the recipe if you want a different outcome. And that's the reality. But last night, I will say, Chad, you know, the president started out on a unbelievably partisan note that absolutely affected and offended my colleagues. And, you know, we're all human beings. And I think that was by design, by the way, Chad, because a lot of what happened last night was clearly planned. It was built into the speech to get Democrats to take the bait. And the problem is they did. And they are basking in that joy right now. And again, it's going to happen time and time again. Let's get used to it. I would stop complaining about it and try to do something next time.
Let's pause, come back with Dean on tariffs, negotiating with Hamas, many other topics. And I made this point in the first hour. I'll just say it before the break. I am well aware this administration has cut some funding for childhood cancer. That should be a part of the conversation. I'm also seeing a number of texts. Well, Donald Trump used this individual as a prop. Politicians use citizens all the time to buttress their argument. So let's, I mean, Dean, we can't act like, and again, I'm no fan of Donald Trump. I've made that incredibly clear. But Donald Trump is not the only politician to ever cite a young child or an adult to add to their argument. But if people want to hold the president's feet to the fire on cutting NIH funding, including cancer research, I think that's fair game, and I think that should be noted also.
Okay, if I could just say something on that subject, I couldn't agree more, Chad. Yep. You know, every one of us, myself included, you know, using is relative, by the way. You know, we're trying to generate content in an era where you need to communicate in a different fashion. The way to do so is by featuring your constituents. You know, Joe Biden celebrated people up in the mezzanine during his State of the Union and speeches. And in my recollection, most Republicans stood and cheered for that because it wasn't about President Biden. It's about the child or the survivor or the military, the veteran or the spouse that is suffering. And this little boy last night, he doesn't care about Donald Trump. No. He doesn't care about Democrats, Republicans. But what he will care about one day, God willing, he lives longer, is that half of that room sat still when he was celebrated. And that does not bode well for a party that wants to succeed.
More with Dean Phillips in moments on CCO. I want to talk StretchLab and how StretchLab continues to help me out and helps out my son. My son, Quentin, has DIRK 1A. So he has significant physical restraints. The folks at StretchLab are so in tune with all of our different bodies. What they do to me compared to Quentin is dramatically different, but they have the training to do it. We've been going to StretchLab for 5-6 years. Online at StretchLab.com. They have 11 convenient Twin City locations. Who goes? Kids who are 15, 16, playing tennis, playing hockey, playing football, and people in their 70s and 80s. Is it for your everyday life? Sure. Is it for if you're playing sports, you're playing tennis, you're golf, you're hooping? Yes. It eliminates or lessens some of the stress and some of the soreness. It helps your mobility. Again, I'm a believer. I'm a customer. If you go to StretchLab.com now, your first stretch is half off. I trust it. You should do it today. StretchLab.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dean Phillips back with us. Two sources familiar with details confirmed to the Jerusalem Post that the U.S. government has held direct talks with Hamas. Israel has been updated on the discussions. The message, according to the Jerusalem Post and picked up by a number of outlets here in the country in the last hour or two, the message to Hamas: show goodwill, move things forward, release hostages, including Americans, so we can see progress move forward. We both agree Hamas is a despicable, disgusting organization who would kill anyone of the Jewish faith and anyone who shows respect to Jews all across the globe. They are in the middle of this conflict. They have suffered major blows. They've lost leaders, but they are still fighting today against Israel. Where do you stand? Do you not allow the U.S. government to negotiate with Hamas because you don't want to elevate their standing? Or do you say they're in the middle of it? We have no choice. We will have dialogue. We will lay out our terms. And we also can tell them specifically what will happen if they don't follow up.
Well, Chad, this is, if this wasn't so extraordinarily complicated, there would have been a solution years ago, and that's why, sadly, it endures as one of the longest-lasting, insolvable conflicts in our lifetimes. And with that said, I think we can look to history as a guide. After World War II, Germany was not recomposed and reinvented with the Nazi Party. Germans participated in the reconstruction of their country with new leadership and democratic leadership. And my hope and expectation is that Palestinians recognize that the best path to sovereignty and to opportunity and to possibility is to forego support for Hamas and reconstitute a country with safety and security and peace. And I think negotiating with an entity that is still sworn to the destruction of Israel is a non-starter. And I have great empathy for the suffering, Palestinian suffering, Israeli suffering, any human suffering. But to think that a group committed to the destruction of the nation next door is suddenly going to rehabilitate itself and reposition itself, I think is asinine. And it's just the realities. You know, it's complicated. And by the way, I think listeners know my feelings about Benjamin Netanyahu, someone who I think should be leading Israel moving forward. With all that said, the answer to me is no. Hamas should not be in a position to lead, govern, or reconstruct. And I'd like to see the Gulf states and the Arab world work together with other like-minded nations to find a path forward with new leadership, sovereign leadership that Palestinians believe in, have faith in, and are not committed to the destruction of the neighbor next door that is a non-starter.
The stock market is just one small sample, and there are tens and tens of millions of people who are not in the stock market. But it is one indication of the unsettled nature of the economy since the president has lived up to what he said during the campaign when he won decisively and said tariffs would be a part of his response to countries across the globe including Mexico and Canada. Now, in the last hour plus, the administration has announced for at least 1 month they're going to hold off on auto tariffs with Mexico and Canada. What are your thoughts on how this is playing out in the interim and how this might play out in the long run? The president last night saying maybe we'll have some, you know, paraphrasing, some short-term pain, but in the long run, it's going to work. Do you believe in the long run the tariffs will be effective?
Well, the answer is qualified with it depends. And generally, tariffs are most effective when they're threatened, not when they're deployed, because the idea is that tariffs are a tool in the national toolkit to inspire a change in economic behavior by one of our either friends or foes. I'm concerned about this because very few can articulate exactly what President Trump expects from these tariffs. Without that transparency, it would be hard for any country to meet the demands. I'm also concerned, Chad, and I think we should all be mindful of anything that destabilizes our neighbors to the south and to the north is not in America's best interest. Economic destabilization always presents a risk for civic unrest. And we are a country that has been blessed by having neighbors on both of our major borders that have been relatively stable. So I think there are some risks here beyond the economy. Clearly, the president believes if he imposes these tariffs that corporations will relocate their manufacturing plants to the United States. And in some cases, that would be true. But the fact of the matter is this globe operates by deploying manufacturing to countries and locations, geographies that have the least expensive labor. And that's always going to be the case. So in the near term, yes, prices are going to rise because when you add a 25% tax to something, you're going to pay 25% more. You can't argue against that. I just hope that the president is clear about what his expectations are, that he's willing to negotiate, probably compromise, and attract U.S. manufacturing back to the U.S., but not allow these to continue for long, because I think the economic consequences are going to be very, very difficult for the overwhelming majority of Americans and create unrest in parts of the world that we can ill afford it. So I just hope we have the right people in the right positions with the right principles considering these consequences.
Last topic for Dean Phillips. We'll let him go, and we always appreciate him coming on. Let's turn the calendar ahead to late summer. Where do you think we're at with our involvement with the war between Russia and Ukraine? And where do you think that war is at that point?
Yeah, I do believe that President Trump wants to end this war. I do think one of his major policy goals is peace, both in the Middle East and in Eastern Europe. I am among many Americans who have been dismayed about what transpired in the Oval Office last week, about some of the change in disposition and principle relative to, I think, one of the most dangerous men in our lifetime, and that's Vladimir Putin. But I also do believe that there is a method to this madness. We may not understand it or appreciate it right now, but my hope is that this strategy will ultimately lead to the peace that I think we all want. All that said, appeasing will never help. And Chad, I'm concerned about Vladimir Putin. I'm concerned about a post-Putin Russia. And I want to go backwards one more time. When Barack Obama failed to act against Putin taking Crimea 10 years ago in 2014, that set the table for now. Mm-hmm. You know, when Joe Biden failed to prevent the attack of Ukraine by Russia, even though they were massed at the border and there were many weeks where I do believe some type of intervention could have prevented this, you know, we are now suffering those consequences. When I say we, of course, none more than Ukraine. So my hope is that we will see a peace accord. My sad belief is that it's going to affect Ukraine in a way that will unfortunately empower dictators around the world, including China, as it relates to Taiwan. So every action has a consequence, often unpredictable. And I'm crossing my fingers, but I am deeply concerned about this approach to appease one of the world's most dangerous men.
Thanks, as always, sir. We'll reach out in the next few weeks and enjoy your day.
My pleasure. Thank you, Chad.
former 3rd District Congressman Dean Phillips here on News Talk 830 WCCO.